Accession number 10251, Reel 1.
Mr. Salisbury, Reel 1. When was it and how was it that you came to be in One Commando?
Well, I was fighting in Norway with the number 2 Independent Company. And all those that came back from there went into Scotland, and we trained under the Lord Lovett Scouts for a while. And then we came from there to Dartmouth, and they made a special service brigade. Colonel Newman was looking after the lot at Peyton, and Lieutenant Colonel, what was his name now? Oh, out the Welsh Regiment. He was looking after us in Dartmouth.
Why was it that you joined the independent companies in the first place?
Well, I volunteered from Belfast.
For what reason?
Well, there's no reason. I just went with a lieutenant I knew very well from Ruthin, Lieutenant Anderson. And he took us to...
You mean he wanted to join the independent companies?
Nah, he said he wanted the gang. He was on the police, you see. And he took most of us, all them were on the police. We left the hired driver. And he says we'd like to we'd go with him, you know. And off we went. But Major Stockwell, that's the General Stockwell, you know, he's billeted around you, and he one time, he was a big man with the Royal Welsh. Well, he was in charge of us, Major Stockwell. And the Colonel of Number 1 Commando, Lieutenant Colonel Trevor, he took over that part as well in Dartmouth. But Lieutenant Colonel Trevor, he was a major for a long while, he had us all the time, you see. We didn't go to Achnacarry. We didn't go there because we were already trained, you see, in that kind of warfare.
Had you been in the civilian police or the military police?
No, military. It wasn't the military police with the red caps. It was the garrison military police, GMPs. They were looking after the garrison, like, isn't it? The barrier, the wassim. Looking after the gates and see everybody's properly dressed, going out and so forth. But nothing else. But we volunteered to go to Norway. So we sailed from Leith. And away we went. Well, across the circle, isn't it? What do they call that circle?
Arctic Circle.
A good round, you know. And we landed at Bodø, B-O-D-O. I don't know what they call it.
Yes, that's a Norwegian name.
Bodø. And then we went from there to meet the enemy.
What did you find at Bodø?
The sun was out at 12 o'clock. And us couldn't hardly stand on our feet. We were purple, seasick. And a friend of mine across the road here now, he's number 1 commando as well, Sergeant Matthias. Well, a rifle fell on him and, it went into his forehead. And, he was blood from head to foot. But, like I said, if the Germans had been there then, it would have took us all. I don't think any of us could have fought at all there, because we were hopeless. Well, in a few weeks after, we come to, And then they moved us to different positions, like behind the Irish Guards and the Scots Guards and all that. They were up at the front. But we were trying to get behind them all the while, you see. But the barriers, you see, there was ice barriers at the back of them, you see. The Germans, they come past that, you see, and the Scots Guards and the Irish Guards were fighting them. And, we couldn't get near them at all. So we were retreating all the time. All the time I was there, we were retreating. And the old motorbike battalions they had, you see, the old Germans, the old-fashioned, right? But they were on the job, you see, every time. Doesn't matter where we rested. Blip, 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 blip. You could hear the old gun going. I said, "Hi, up." I said, "He's here already."
What kind of a gun was that?
Can you name some of them?
An automatic weapon?
Yes, automatic. Something like a Bren.
A Schmeisser?
No, it wasn't him, no. Can't think of the name of the gun. But it sounded like a Bren, you know, but it wasn't a Bren gun. I forget the name of it now. But I remember the ones that said in his air, like the ones they had fighting us at the Hooligan. The Hooligan gun, you see, they had the same as us, weren't they?
In Norway, did you take any casualties in your units?
Yes, we lost 6th and 7th Royal Welsh, most of them. And there weren't many of us left. But there were some, you see, I was 158 platoon. And there was 159 and 160. The 159, I think, and 160, they had the most, like, a knock, like you see. But I was number 4 in the 158, like you see. It went too bad at all. They managed to get out of it all right. But our sergeant was taken prisoner.
Your what?
Our sergeant. From Ruthin, he was, Sergeant Jones. There was a gang of them left on the top of this mountain, and the Germans caught them, you see, and I met him in Germany in 1942, most of them. All the lads were with me in Norway, they were there, prisoners of war. Nobody died, nobody got killed, they were all there. And then it came after, you see, that I was a rock climbing instructor as well, you know, I'd been up in Glencoe for about 18 months, between there and Skye.
So you were just retreating all the time, pursued by these German motorcyclists?
Yes, retreating all the time, soaking wet. No sleep at all, hardly, because, I mean, the sun's out, isn't it, all the while? Land of the Midnight Sun is beautiful, too.
How close to the Germans did you get?
Oh, very close, because they fired on us. And we got into this pool, and some of them was under the bridge, and some fell over the bridge. And then I met two of them in prisoners of war, and they were all right, and they said most of them got away from there all right, you know. But me and the five or six of us went into this lake, and as I said, they wouldn't shoot us, you see, we were in the water, you see, wouldn't they? But we still had our rifles, you see. But they never come for us. And this lad, he had a sleeping bag full of tins. We went down for rations, you see, and he had full of tins, and he pulled this. What's the sleeping bag straight through this pool, and it only just got to me neck. But the little one from the other village there, he had to come on our shoulders, like, wanted everything to rest on our shoulders. And you know what? We walked right across it and got on the other side. And just when we got on to the other side, they started firing across the water to us. See, and we got away. That's the only time, or otherwise we'd have been taken prisoner there. But naming the places today, I haven't got the memory for that today, you know, not even the valley, whatever the valley was called. But we were in this valley, and the RAF sent gladiators there, the old airmen, the pilot was coming, walking along the road back with us, shot down straight away. The rifle fire fetched him down, you see, he was that low. But we went too high, you see, the trees are so high there, and he couldn't find much about him. He had a bomb or something on it, I guess, but
how far away from Bodø was this lake, do you know?
The lake? Oh, we were 20, 30 miles abed. Aye.
And the bridge was over the lake, was it?
There was a bridge on the big river, not far from this lake. I think this lake was fed from the falls and the water from the mountain. And then it came down, you see, on this bridge where these lads fell over. And going into the main stream, you see, the main stream was like the big river coming down, you see. And the old German, I don't know why he was trying to, or looking after it. He was coming there all the while, every morning, or three times a day sometimes. I don't know if he was looking after the bridge, save anybody else bombing it or something like that, I don't know. But he was coming every day. You know, I said, "Aye, up, old lads, come in at the same time." And but he never dropped no bombs on the bridge. He never destroyed the bridge in any way, like. So he was, if old lads get near it, like, they'll blow it up, you see, wouldn't they? Because he's got to come over that, you see, the Germans. But I left that part, whatever. We couldn't do nothing much there, and we only had a bandolier of bullets, you know, ammunition. We never had a big case of them where we could carry up and down. Just a bandolier, that's all we had. And we were collecting it off the dead, like you see. Say one of your mates or whoever we've seen on the roadside or something like that. We used to take his ammunition. But the villagers, you see, they bury the dead. They buried our lads, won't they? And there's a chap there been killed. He's from the Roast, like another village close by. And they can't find where he was buried, you know. And I said, well, very sorry, I said. I couldn't tell him anything about it. But from there, most of the independent companies went into the commandos.
Did the Norwegian civilians seem friendly to you?
Very friendly, yes. Oh, aye, very friendly. But the soldiers, we've seen them going with the buses and their skis on them. And I think the same lot was coming back. You know, unless the skis and the camouflage were still the same, like, you know, on the top. And we tried to find out, like, somewhere or other. We'll watch it, you know, the next time we see a bus going up, like, take his number or something like that. But he bound to be coming back in two, wouldn't he? Taking people to the front, like, and coming back.
Did you see anything of the Irish or Scots guards?
We were looking after a post there for when they were coming through. And Mr. Cottam, when they were sleeping or something, because some of them were in their long johns. They never had no trousers on at all, only in their long johns and their vest and their shirt and their boots on.
You mean the aeroplanes caught them?
Well, I don't know what's in, but there's some of our lads up there, a long, long way from us, you know, these Irish guards and the Scots guards. But the point was, like, when they come through us at that time, we were making for Bodo back again, you see. And when we did land at Bodo, two cruisers came in, or destroyers, H-class destroyers, weren't they? And they had the nets on the side, and we jumped on off the quay, and lucky enough, like, because the lad was there as quick as us, very dear. The motorbikes were there again. And instead of taking us to Narvik, you see, he dropped us off somewhere, and we had to fight again, didn't we? But it was hopeless. We had nothing there, you know. Nothing at all.
Can you remember what the second place was called?
No, I can't remember none of the places. It's near Narvik. Near Narvik that we come home from there.
Can you describe what the fighting was like there?
Very fierce. And the gentleman that took us away, like the lieutenant, he got the MC Military Cross, and he went in charge of the carriers. So he wasn't in charge of us after, was he? After we going with him, you know. But we were with Major Trevor, and of course Major Stockwell. Well, Stockwell, he took over. Then he took over the whole command of Norway after. So he was a good chap. Well, they both were, matter of fact.
But
that's all there is about Norway, I think. What's it? I couldn't tell you the name of the places at all.
Can you tell me about the training that you had with one commando?
Oh, aye, the training. The training we had was severe training. There was no assault courses there, same as they got in Scotland. And what they've got now down in the Royal Marine place there. But we trained, you see, rough outwards, and you see, fortnight on the land and all this other thing, eating blackbirds. And I never spoke to my mate for a week or a fortnight. Somebody said, well, what's wrong with Ned? He won't tell you. I said, he left the legs on. Left the legs on what? I said, the sparrow. But it was only a joke, you know. But the other people, like up in the village, you know, said, fancy him cooking sparrows and blackbirds, he says, for Glenn, and he left the legs on. The training was very up to the standard, you know. But you see, it was split in half. One was made number one commando, you see, in Dartmouth. And the other was made two commando in Peyton. And that was Colonel Newman had the ones in Peyton, you see, his own commando. From the Special Service Brigade, you see. That's when the commandos were first formed. But I hear now, and by the reading, that number three commando, he had his own, he picked his own men. So he must have picked them out of the independent companies or something.
Was there much difference between one commando and two commandos?
No, there's no difference in the commandos at all. Only some done more than others. Number three done well, you see. Number two done pretty good. But night trading hours was mostly for, you see. When we were down in Dartmouth, on these MLs, you know, and if you meet an airport, well, you haven't got a... You never had an earthly chance with them, you know. You'd be sunk straight away, no bother. And you see, we remember when them Yanks had a, they had a bit of a do on, didn't they? And slapped in Sands. It was in the paper not long ago.
In 1944.
Well, we were in that area, you see. We were. And our boats got crushed there as well.
Why was that?
Well, the swell, you see, comes over, you know. They could surf there, I expect now. I don't know, like. But the surf was coming in that, you know, that quick and that high, you see. And when these crafts of ours, you see, as soon as the waves left us, you see, we'd boof, straight down, you see. Well, they were smashed somewhere or other, you see. They wouldn't, and then all that part there was mine, you see. When we come across it, you could see the names, so mine. So we'd say, oh, the heck are we going to get from you, like, you see. But we walked on the bad way here. Until we come to the very... Oh, I've lost... And, well, I mean, we never lost anybody, you know, in that thing. Like, only a dog, the officer's dog. I think he was drowned there, I'm not sure. But, nothing went off, you know. No shells, nothing went off. No mines.
Did you go on any actual combat missions before San Jose?
No, I did not. I was up in Scotland climbing, rock climbing. Instructor, and then they fetched me back from there 1942, somewhere around January or February, and they fetched a 75mm gun in there, and I went to train on that for a while. I don't know what it was. They had something in mind, you see, because I was C-section in number 3 troop. I was a demolition corporal as well, you see, and I think that's what they'd done, you see. They had most of us down there, like Don Chapel and all them, you see. Llewellyn, a good few of them, you see. And got them all together. I think they knew that this thing was coming off. Something was coming off, whatever, because we were all NCOs, you see. And I went to Rosyth. From there, we stayed there for a week or so, I think. And then we all went to Cardiff. Some went to Southampton, others went to Cardiff. I was at Cardiff under Pritchard.
Who was Pritchard?
Captain Pritchard, MC. He was in charge of the demolition.
Can you tell me what kind of training you did at Cardiff?
Oh, dock installations. All dock installations. Gates, bridges, powerhouses, pumps.
What exactly would you do?
Oh, they made the charges. Well, the first thing we'd done, it was in minutes, you see. But it was too long. We wanted it to cut down into seconds. And the quicker the job, you see, and do it proper, the better for us, you see. That's what we had. And everything, you see, the War Office done for us was for the best, like, you know. Everything was worked on pulleys and drums and all this sort of thing, you see. A 50-pound sausage I had, you see, to put around a kingpin of a bridge. The one of them that lifts up, you see, and then it turns, isn't it? And you see, it shows the shaft, isn't it, underneath the bridge, if you have a look. A huge piston comes up, you see, with compressed air, and it lifts up. So my job was to lift the bridge up, get it over halfway into the lock, and then put the sausage around him. Cut him.
This was explosive, was it?
Explosive, yes, Amatol. And lift it up, you see, and drop it in there. But the sad story was, you see, I never landed at St. Nazaire. Because when we got to the old mole, most of the ships were on fire there. And the sea was on fire as well, you see, the whole river was on fire. And there's no way that we land there. And if we did land, we were spoiling somebody else, you see. There's one or two boats behind us, you see. They were in the same place as us. And they might have been able to get there after us, you see. So it wasn't worth us staying there and getting burnt. the boat burnt and all this and that. So he circled around, you see, to see anybody in the rivers. You see, we tried to collect them up in the river.
We'll come on to the actual raid in a minute.
Yeah.
Was there any other training you did apart from
No. That's all my training, that was. Scotland and Dartmouth.
And Cardiff.
That Cardiff was only just for the raid, you see, wasn't it?
Was there any other preparations that you made for the raid?
No, nothing at all. Only in Cardiff. And Rosyth. We were at Rosyth, you see. Rosyth is the same. You see, all the dock installations are the same. It's only, we only went around the docks in Rosyth. We didn't do any work there at all. We just went, I think the Nelson was in there in Dry Dock at the time. I think she was. And there was nothing much there. It's, and we didn't know exactly what it was all meant for, you know. Because it was interesting, like. But nobody knowed, do they? Nobody knows where we're going, really, do they? You know, I mean, we went to many parts. You see where they made lorries down in Luton. And then in the Bedford place there. And I mean, that was when I came back into the army, like, you see, when I was down in Letchworth there, that way. Well, they took us, you see, to these places.
So this was just to learn?
Just to look around, you see, around the docks there, you know, something to do, like, isn't it? But when we came down to Cardiff, now, it all started there, you see, working nights as well, going along them chains, you know, over the lock gates, and,
climbing along the
chains. Yes, the chains, the lock chains, and mucked up to the teeth, you know. And then sleep by day, work by night, isn't it? Well, we had to work, you see, because nobody took any notice of it at night, would they? They'd be wondering who's there, like, but you see, Captain Pritchard, his father was the dockmaster there. And he didn't know, you see, exactly who we were and this and that, you see. His son didn't tell him nothing, I don't think. And then Tommy Durant, you see, he was with me as well, you see.
What kind of a chap was Durant?
Grand chap. Lovely chap. Well, he was up in Norway, independent company as well. And
what was so good about him?
Well, a fine soldier. Soldier all through him, you know. Good chap. a good chap in everything, you know, as a soldier should be. Training. And he was made, I think, a King's Corporal in Norway, on the field, I'm not sure. I think he was. And when he was a different troop to me, but he was a lovely chap. I met his brother on the yacht. What's his name? They come to sing this air with us.
This was a visit after the war?
Yes, 1982.
Can you tell me now about how you actually got to Saint-Nazaire?
By boat, you mean?
Yes.
Well, we came down from Cardiff into Falmouth. And that's where it all starts from, Falmouth. The Princess Charlotte came in with two commando on it. And for every boat that went from there were four men looking after us. There were four gentlemen looking after us. And they had mostly like a Bren gun and a Tommy gun, whatever they were saying. And we had the Colt 45. That's all we had. And we had to make our own sandbags to put your ammunition in, you know, magazines in. And your respirator was full of hand grenades. So all that was left on the boat, you see, the respirators and all that were left on the boat. But that's how we went into action. And then we were separated from, what's in then, from the two commando, because we didn't know half the chaps that was there, you see. But there were four of them, you see, and an officer come onto my boat, you see. They were looking after us, you see, the 12 of us. And then, of course, we had to meet the sailors. And every boat was manned then from Princess Charlotte, you see, even the officers and everything, you see. And I think we had a couple of days with them, just getting used to the boat. And then it took us to a bit of a scheme in Plymouth. Where the old Home Guard was defending they were defending the docks, and we were against them. And
how did that work out?
Oh, well, we had some fun. This huge crane there, high up. We were along the crane, and we were looking down at all the home garden, And you could hear him saying, "Where do you think they are?" He said, "There's nobody about anywhere, but there's us, you see." And we went across the bridge, the crane, and dropped on the other side. And then there was a big hut there, and there's some ladies there making tea and cakes and whatnot. And that's where we was there. That's where we stayed. And when the home guard, they finished, no commanders come here, he said, we must have stopped them. We were having tea then. We bypassed them. But by God, we went out one day past the lighthouse. What's the furthest lighthouse in Devon there? Oh, how many miles is it? 18 miles away from the coast. Did you know it, the one? The lighthouse?
Oh, I've forgotten.
Yeah. Well, there was 18 or 20 boats in convoy, ML. And when we were up on top, like that, we just look around, you could see two. All the rest was in the swell. They'd done everything except loop the loop. Ooh, terrible. And we got up to Scilly Isles, and they put us in one of the bays there to ease the, And somebody shouted, "Do you want any cocoa, Taff?" Cocoa. "Oh, no," I said, "I'm dying." I said, "Cup of tea, I want." He said, "No cocoa." But even the officers were bad. It was that bad, you see. I said to myself, whatever we went into, I hope it's not as bad as this. But we were all right. Everything passed off. It eased off a little bit, and it started to rain. Well, that's cooled the waters up a bit, isn't it? And then I remember the skipper saying to me, "Don't you forget," he says, "we're still at war. Don't you make a holiday of it here?" He says, "We're on the Scilly Isles." He says, "After you finish your tea or cocoa," he says, "get on watch." Very good, sir. And that was that, you see. And we sailed from Falmouth on the 26th of March, 1942, never to come back from there. You see, that we were on our way home, but the two German destroyers caught us. They said there was three there somewhere, but I only seen two, And the last one must have seen something. The others passed us, and that one passed us, but she must have seen something, you see. And our engines were stopped and all that, you see. The boat was quiet. And he came back, and he knocked us on one side. Hit us on the bow, And over, a lot of them went into the sea, you see. Van Diver, he was the number two commando officer that was looking after us. We lost him straight away. Van Diver, his mother had been looking, has anybody seen him? I didn't know, and I wouldn't.